Well, let's read that passage together. Revelation 22. God's last word to the church, a word that endures forever. And it's a good time to say together the memory verse for the Sunday school. I was going to ask Calvin to stand and say it, but maybe next time, Calvin. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Isaiah 45, verse 22. What a great call to come. So what we read about in Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. And his servants will worship him. They will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun. For the Lord God will be their light and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoers still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. In our text, verses 12 through 21, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty, come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. May God bless this word to our hearts and lives. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, imagine that you were writing the letter of a lifetime to your children and grandchildren. And now you're coming to the end of that letter and you say, how am I going to end? How am I going to finish this letter? And you would understand, and those who read would understand, this is the last call. This is the most important thing. I want to finish with the ultimate issue of life. And that's what makes the last words of Jesus in the Bible to his people, to his children, so utterly important. All God's word is important. But you'll notice that the way he finishes the scriptures is like his last call to his children. And we've noticed that that last call can be summarized in two statements. Keep this word. And that's what we looked at last time. Keep this word. Hold on to faith in Jesus Christ. Trust that the victory is His, not Satan's, not the world's. Don't cave into them. Don't yield to temptation. It's not going to bring you to eternal life and happiness. Hold on to Jesus Christ in faith. Keep His word. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't diminish it in any way. Give your life to Him. Keep this word. Drink my water. That's the last call. Drink my water. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Come to the waters. That's God's last word. Come to my son, Jesus. And the church throughout the ages is always tempted to be diverted and distracted by all kinds of other things and not be centered on Christ. And the last word of the Bible, God is centering us on His Christ. I want to center you, my church, on the call to come to Him and to go out and call the rest of the world to come to Him. That's what you're here for. That's your mission. That's your calling. That's what the church is all about. Worshiping the Christ and leading the world. Calling the world to worship the Christ. So we're being centered here. That all may come to Christ and have life and have it abundantly. We see God's last word is first Christ's last coming. The church's last call. And the Bible's last cry. Christ's last coming. The church's last call. And the Bible's last cry. Christ's last coming. The Bible ends with a threefold announcement. Not once. Not twice. Three times. Look at verse 7. Jesus says, "Behold, I'm coming soon." Once. Verse 12. "Behold, I am coming soon." Verse 20, right at the end, "Surely I am coming soon." Does that make you think that that's important? That our Lord Jesus Christ says that three times. This is the event of ultimate importance. Jesus is coming a second time. Hebrews 9 says the first time He came as a baby to suffer and die and deal with sin, offer His life on the tree of the cross as a sacrifice. But the second time, He's coming to bring salvation to those who are eagerly waiting for Him. And to bring punishment for those who don't follow Him or worship Him. He's coming to bring salvation to those who eagerly wait for Him. He's coming. And of all the things God wants you to remember, beloved, it's this. Jesus is coming soon. Now we saw from 2 Peter 3 what that means. It's taking a long time, but He's not being slow. He's just being patient and it's the last thing. It's the next thing on God's timeline in the program redemption. That's soon. Jesus said, "Be ready at all times, for you don't know. The Son of Man is coming at an hour you don't expect." So to be ready means you believe in Him now. You're washed in His blood now. You're eager to follow Him and meet Him now. Are you ready? He's coming soon. Are you ready? If He comes today, are you ready? And He may. I don't expect it. But He said He's going to come in an hour when you least expect it. So, am I ready? "Behold, I'm coming soon," verse 12. "Bringing my recompense with me." That's my wages, my reward. "To repay each one for what he has done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." He's coming with a recompense or reward. To repay you for how you've lived your life here on earth. If you live for Jesus, you'll be rewarded with a rich welcome into eternal life. The new creation is yours. If you've lived for yourself and for this world, you'll be repaid with eternal damnation. He's coming. And His right to judge you is found in 12b. He's the Alpha and the Omega. That's the A and the Z, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. The Alpha and the Omega. Meaning He's the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. He's sovereign over the world and over your life. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything about you. And He has the final say on your eternal destiny. He determines heaven or hell for you. He is the last word. He has the last word. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And he's going to repay everybody for what he has done. And for those who receive the reward of heaven, that might sound like we're saved by our works. If you do good, you'll get good. If you do good, God will save you. When the Bible clearly teaches that's not how we're saved. For it's by grace you're saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. It's absolutely true that we're not saved by our works. It's absolutely true that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, the Christ alone. Just look at the next verse. Blessed are those who wash their robes. They have access to the tree of life and to the gate that goes into the garden city of God. It's not our works that gives us access. It's washing our robes in the blood of Christ. We read about that in chapter 7. Blessed or they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. We're saved by Jesus' perfect work. His obedient suffering and death on the cross as a payment for our sin. That washes us and gives us access to God and to His throne and to the tree of life. And to the eternal inheritance. And to full glory. But we also know this from the Bible, that when Jesus saves us from our sins, He fills us with our spirit. He graciously gives you a new heart and a new spirit and a new desire to live for Him. And He fills your life with good works done out of love for Christ after He saves you. He fills you with caring for the needy and visiting the sick and loving the stranger and serving your brothers and sisters and loving your wife and your husband and your children, caring for them, raising them in the fear of the Lord. He fills you with those good works. And He promises to reward them. To say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. You've been faithful in little. I will set you over much. But remember, that reward is just total grace. It's just total grace. He saved you by His grace, and then He gave you good works, and then He's going to reward those good works that He saved you to do and He gave you to do. But He's telling you, as a great encouragement, your good works matter to God. You're not saved by them, but you're saved to do them. And He loves them, and they matter to God, and they won't go unnoticed. He loves good works. Not when they're done as mercenary works, trying to buy God off. But when they're done, out of true freedom of grace, God has so loved me, and I can't but help love Him back. But there's also another reward when Christ returns, eternal punishment. Those who don't believe in Jesus and have not given their lives to Him, you will not have access to the garden city or to the tree of life. Look at the next verse, outside, it says. Verse 15, outside. There's going to be a lot of people outside. Outside of the garden city, outside of heaven, outside of God's presence, outside of joy, outside of meaningful living, outside of blessing, outside of glory. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Who are the dogs? That doesn't mean there's not going to be dogs in heaven. The wolf is going to lie down with the lamb, right? And the lion will eat straw with the ox, right? There's a place for dogs in heaven. Dogs here means people. The dogs referred to are dirty, mangy, scavenger dogs who are unclean and unfit for the household, for society. It refers to people who are filthy in sin and have not repented and got themselves washed off through the blood of Christ. The Old Testament says in Deuteronomy 23:18, you shall not bring the fee of a prostitute or the wages of a dog to the house of the Lord. It was a name reserved for idolaters and the sexually immoral dogs. And that's what Revelation is saying here. Those who are unclean in God's sight, who live for sex and live for money and live for self and destroy other people's lives, whose belief system is wrong. They dismiss God's truth and hold to the lies of this world and trumpet them. And they do not repent. Do not give their lives to Christ to be washed and made clean like Rahab and Ruth. They'll be rewarded with the lake of burning sulfur. Eternal torment. be thrown outside of the garden city of God, outside of peace and glory. Whether you're a polite unbeliever or a vicious rebel, Jesus will not accept you into his heaven. Those who have refused to bow the knee before him, who've refused to become part of his family of faith, who want to live for themselves and follow their own lives. Behold, I am coming soon, he says. And he's going to carry your eternal destiny with him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trade in your rags for his robes, your filth for his holiness, your degraded passions for his purity, and your love of the lie for the truth of his word. Come to him. And then when he comes, he'll come for you. And his coming will be a day of triumph, of complete victory, of graduating from the church militant to the church triumphant, graduating from suffering to glory and to enjoy eternal pleasures at God's right hand, where the curse is not found and there's no more mourning, pain, or death. And Jesus says in verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David. In other words, in me is coming the shalom and justice and peace and righteousness of the kingdom that the Son of David came to bring, where the wolf will lie down with the lamb and there'll be nothing to hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. And I'm the bright morning star. I'm the one who brings about a new day, a new world, new light out of darkness. Are you ready? This is a word of triumph for believers, a word of warning for those who are not. And so that leads us, secondly, to the church's last call. Verse 17 especially, in the light of this ultimate event where everyone will face the judge of the living and the dead, the Alpha and the Omega. The church is given by the Spirit an urgent ministry to a perishing world on behalf of Christ. We're ambassadors of Christ to a world in sin, calling men and women to come to Christ, be reconciled to God through Christ. Look at the three comes. Just like there's three I am coming soon, there are three comes. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty, come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. You hear the background of Isaiah 55, where there are also three comes. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. He who has no silver, come buy grain and eat. Yes, come buy grain, wine and milk without silver and with no price. Come. But it's not mere repetition. These are three different groups calling come. First, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Some say this is a prayer to Christ. Come quickly. Well, that's what it is in verse 20, but in this context, it can't be that. This is a call to the world to come to the waters. Come and drink. Come to Jesus. It's the call of the gospel to those inside the church and to those outside the church. The Spirit and the bride. Remember why Christ poured out his Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. You shall be clothed with power when the Spirit comes upon you from on high, and you shall be my witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Spirit empowers the bride, the church, to say, come. I say to you who've been Christians 60 years already, come to Christ. You need him still. You need him for forgiveness, for strength to stay firm in your faith, to handle the challenges of life. Come to Christ. Take the water of life without price. He is for you. All that he has is for you. All that he is for you. Come. I say to you, if you're a young adult, come to Christ. If you've been faking your faith and have never come yet, come now. Take the water of life. If your heart is far from him, come to him that your heart may be filled with him. If you're still in your sin, come to him that you may be rescued from your sin. Come. If you're a young adult and you're a believer, come to Christ. If you need to grow in leadership, if you need to grow in purity, If you need to grow in becoming a Christian man or a Christian woman, come to Christ. If you need help to throw off the shackles of pornography or gossip or bitterness, come to Christ. His blood shed on the cross covers, washes away all your sins day by day. And His Spirit gives you power to live for Him. Come to Christ. And if you're a young boy or a young girl and you're just 12 or just 10 or even just 5, you don't have to wait till you're as old as grandma and grandpa to come. And you don't have to wait till you're as old as mom or dad. Come now. Come to Jesus. Now, when you're very little, say, Lord Jesus, wash away my sins. Give me a clean heart and live in me so I can live for you. Come. Come to Christ. And then the church says to her neighbors, come to Christ. The ones across the street, come to Christ. To the unreached peoples of the world, come to Christ. We pray for reapers who will go into the harvest field and say, come to Christ. For pastors who will believe the whole word of God without adding or subtracting, who say, come. And Jesus Himself reaches out through His ambassadors and says, be reconciled to God. The church is not to live as a castle in this world, but as an embassy. Not as a castle with high walls that stays away from the world, but as an embassy that's planted there to go out as His ambassadors. Second command, let the one who hears say, come. Now we have the individual believer who has heard the word of the gospel, and the Spirit has reached into your life through that call and rescued you from the wrath of God, given you repentance. You've come to Christ. You've heard the word. And now you go to your neighbors. You go to your family. Like the Samaritan woman, remember? Who heard the word of life from Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, runs home to her townspeople and says, come, meet the man of your dreams. Meet the man who told me all that I ever did. Meet the man who gave me living water. Without price. Let the one who hears say, come. My heart was captured last week by Brant Jean. Do you remember him? The murder trial of Amber Geiger. Perhaps you saw some clips of that. Amber shot and killed Brant's brother, Botham Jean. She was convicted of murder. Sentenced to 10 years in prison. And then the murdered man's brother, Brant, he looks to be like 21, 22 years old. Had a chance to address Amber, his brother's killer. You've probably seen it. Miss Geiger, I just want you to know that I love you. And I don't wish anything bad for you. I just want you to give your life to Christ. I just want you to give your life to Christ. My brother would have wanted that for you too. I just want you to give your life to Christ. Let him who hears say, come. The man in court. And then the judge. Amber says, what purpose is there for me? Do you have a Bible? And the judge comes from behind the bench and hugs Amber and gives her a Bible and shares John 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in Him, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Take this and your life will have purpose. Well, whether you're behind the judge's bench or you're on the other side, or wherever you're at in life, let him who hears say, come. Are you saying come to your neighbors like the Samaritan woman? That's why we're here. That's Jesus' last word to you. And that's where He wants your life to be centered, in your workplace and in your school and on the bus and in your family. Come. And then it's said a third time, and this time it's the direct call of the gospel. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. He throws the invitation, Jesus does, and the command wide open to everyone who's thirsty for His salvation. Whether you're a murderer, fornicator, adulterer, gossiper, porn addict, drug addict, proud, under the wrath of God. There's hope for you in the look, one look at Jesus Christ in true faith. All you who are thirsty, you want a different life. Do you want the filth removed? Do you want the guilt removed? Do you want the shame removed? Do you want the poison removed from your life? Do you want the addiction removed from your life? Come. This is the day of salvation. Come. Come to the waters, whoever is thirsty. Drink from the fountain that never runs dry. Jesus, the living one, offers you mercy. Life more abundant in boundless supply. And that leads to the Bible's last cry. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. John moves on in verses 18 through 21. First, to give a warning, to tell us to take God's word as it is in our preaching, as the church, in our evangelism as individual believers, and in the call of the gospel. Speak the truth in love. Don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. Give the full gospel. Give only the gospel. Because the church has been busy so often adding to the word of God, rules upon rules upon rules. Like Colossians. Do not taste, do not handle, do not touch. Legalisms. Robbing Christ of a full and free salvation that he's won for us on the cross. And the church has been so busy subtracting from the word of God with a Jesus who's less than the Bible Jesus, the prosperity gospel, the Jesus who just came to give you health and wealth right now, who's a mentor for you, who's your cheerleader through life. Who's a good man and makes a good guru and example for you. And that's all he is. The Bible's clear. If you kill the gospel, God will kill you. It's true for the preacher, the church, and everybody. And that leads us to the last cry, final cry of the Bible. Jesus says, surely I'm coming soon, verse 20. And the people of God cry out in faith. Amen. That means this is true. This is sure to be. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And that's how I want to close. Let this be your desire and let it be mine, the cry of the church's heart. In all our heartache, persecution, distress, crises, temptation, suffering, frustration, weakness, sinfulness, come, Lord Jesus. I want you. I want to meet you. I want to see you face to face. I want you to come here and sweep me off my feet and take me to the over the threshold into your temple of the new creation. Heaven and earth, that's what I long for. That's what I hope for you. The words of Isaiah 25. It will be said on that day, that last day when Jesus returns. Behold, this is our God. We've waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We've waited for him. Let's be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Too often, brothers and sisters, I hear talk like this. But I can't wait to meet my mommy, my daddy, my spouse, my son, my daughter, Abraham, John Calvin. It's okay to desire that. But how about come, Lord Jesus, I want to see you. That's where we have to center our hope and our faith. Set your mind on things above where Christ is seated at God's right hand, not on things that are on the earth. This is also true for young adults. Craig Keener, one of the commentators of Revelation, says when he was a young adult, he had this one huge desire as a young Christian to find a girlfriend. And he desired this all the time. It was his greatest desire. And he prayed for this every day, a girlfriend who loves the Lord. And one day he went into a church service where the people were singing and crying and praying for Jesus to come. We want to meet you, Jesus. We want to see you. And he suddenly was corrected. I've made a girlfriend my greatest desire when Jesus must be my greatest hope. To pray for a spouse who fears the Lord. In other words, no matter what age we're at, even if we're young and we've got a long future perhaps ahead of us in this world, busy with the stuff of this world, keep your head and your heart in heaven. Make this final cry your cry. Come, Lord Jesus. Keep him at the center. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. This is the believer's desire for himself, but also that his neighbors be ready for that day when Christ returns. And the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. My grace I give to you, my church, to keep you in the faith, bring you to the faith, keep you in the faith, preserve you, protect you to the end so you're an overcomer. We're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Hold on to him. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise you for helping us to focus and center our lives upon you. In that last word of the Bible, help us to carry this last word with us, which summarizes really the whole Bible, and not to lose sight of you and your glory, that we might come to you and call others to come to you. Father, may we be an embassy, not a castle. Cause your kingdom to come through us. And Lord Jesus, come. Come on the clouds of heaven. Come quickly. Amen.